Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley, and I'm joined today by Ali Ballou, one of our nurse practitioners. She's sitting in for Jerry today, so this is a little bit strange, just having me and you as the only two co-hosts today.
I know. I was kind of worried when you started your intro. I was like, oh no, I'm going to mess it up because it's usually and Jerry.
And Jerry. There we go. So, and today we're really joined by a very special guest, Dr. Fadi Shmoni. And he's an endocrinologist by training, but really it looks like a pioneer, kind of an innovator, has some interesting things as an entrepreneur, some companies that he's founded and that he's the chief medical advisor of, one called Hormonally and also Eli Health. Really a wealth of knowledge on hormones and peptides, some kind of cutting edge things. So thank you so much, Dr. Shmoni, for being here with us today, for joining us. I think this will be an exciting topic. Things that we, our patients, certainly are consumers of here in the practice and that we refer out a lot to. But I think for Ali and myself, what we'll do is represent a conversation really that a lot of providers in the functional medicine space, in the med spa space that are our listeners are interested in. And that's learning more about how they can interpret these different lab variations, how to know when to refer patients out and who to refer them to, and how to really bring some of these things into their practice. I know for me, it seems overwhelming when you look at all the different pathways that you have to learn as an endocrinologist. And when I see people just kind of blindly doing hormone management without really taking all those things into consideration, it's a little bit scary. And I'm sure it is for you also.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first and foremost, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm very excited to have this chat about a topic that's very dear to me, which is hormone health. So I am an endocrinologist and geneticist by training, but I pivoted into venture building and I spend a lot of time right now helping scale startups and bringing different AI innovations for consumer-facing products and also enterprise, because in the era of AI today, we can really empower providers and consumers with different tools and technologies. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Now, I think one of the exciting things about it is that for years, it really was seen as a barrier, and we didn't talk a lot about hormone health. I don't think a lot of providers, I've been in, a physician now. I graduated in 2000, so over 25 years. And I know kind of back in my day, we did some endocrinology rotations. We had to study it for our exams. But outside of the people going on to specialty training in endocrinology, a lot of us were not trained on hormone management. And then it seems like we went through this kind of phase where everybody was going to do hormone management and start putting in pellets. But we saw all kinds of crazy, crazy results. You know, we had patients coming in with giant clitorises and they were coming in saying, hey, is there any way you can reduce this? And somebody's got them on huge doses of testosterone and nobody adjusted it down or nobody even thought about the side effects of it. They were just kind of blindly putting in these pellets. And now there's a lot more education available. And I think providers are doing a much better job with it. But tell me about your technology and how you're making this easier for providers and for consumers.
Yeah, absolutely. And well said. You know, hormone health is often seen as a taboo because it really sits at the intersection of biology, sexuality, aging, and identity. So areas, societies that historically treated as private or uncomfortable. And there are several forces to contribute for that. You know, it touches on sexuality and reproduction. So hormone, as we know, regulates libido, fertility, menstrual cycles, menopause, erections, and puberty. And from a gender and age stigma perspective, you know, hormones are really the signals of life. It helps with different transitions, including puberty and menopause and aging and body composition and mood and cognition. So it plays vital roles in a lot of these life events. And medicine historically deprioritized it because it's classic healthcare focused on acute disease, acute illness, mortality endpoints, organ pathology. And it really didn't look at it from the lens of rejuvenation, longevity, really fixing the gradual decline that we see in hormones over time. So I think we're at an inflection point right now, where we're finally understanding the role of hormones across the lifespan. We know that they do decline over time, especially starting in our mid-30s. Then we reach a point where everything just shuts off, which is called andropause or menopause. And we still don't really understand why, but we have an opportunity with technology today to really measure that serially. And companies like Ellie Health has introduced the first instant salivary cortisol, progesterone, testosterone, and other hormones in the future. So consumers are able to track these changes in real time through a cost-effective, scalable platform that leverages hormones in the saliva to create a number that can then be serially tracked, and with different AI technologies can allow the individual to understand their patterns and then change their behavior to further optimize their hormones. So collectively putting all these thoughts together, we're in a great time to leverage technology, to use these technologies to understand physiology, and then to try to biohack our physiology so we could live longer and healthier.
Excellent. So I love the term biohacking. I know that's also very controversial right now, and being trained in some traditional medicine, when we talk about that with some of my peers, they kind of cringe. They think it's voodoo medicine, and what are you doing when you're talking about biohacking? What are your thoughts on this? I mean, I can guess based on your statements just now, but what are your thoughts on biohacking? And as a trained endocrinologist, what are your thoughts on providers outside of endocrinology providing this type of care?
Let's call it alternative medicine, for the lack of a better word. So we've been trained in the traditional medicine route, and there's really a merit in being in that ecosystem for diagnosing and treating disease. But we also understand that the human biology is really a fascinating sea of lots of unknowns. And so what this new science of human optimization, healthy longevity, biohacking is uncovering a lot of interesting data that we really did not have when we orchestrated the traditional care model. So now we're seeing an evolution of different healthcare and wellness models that run in parallel to that traditional care model. And a perfect example is the biohacking wellness movement, which introduces products and services and ideologies and protocols that are interesting with the focus on optimizing the human physiology and biology and not necessarily addressing disease endpoints. I mean, they could also be used for disease endpoints, but the idea here is how can I be a better version of myself, before getting diagnosed with a disease and being part of the traditional care model. So if you think about it as a journey from physiology to disease, a type of medicine called phenomic medicine, and we know that disease takes time to evolve. It evolves through stages. So what if I want to better understand where I am on that journey and then biohack it or intervene with different products and services to delay that aging process or that disease process? So that journey is very interesting. We're still learning about it. A lot of biomarkers are involved, a lot of different pathophysiological processes. And so we're seeing an inflection point and an evolution in this wellness and longevity economy, which is sitting at $6 trillion today, projected to be a $10 trillion market opportunity. And the opportunity here is for the consumer to understand what's out there beyond the traditional care model so they can become better versions of themselves. And biohacking is one of those.
Yeah, personally, I love it. Ali,
I do too. I think like the primary prevention thing is like really becoming a movement right now. And I love that, people being more educated in their health and really taking a part of their health instead of just saying, I'm sick, I'm going to go to the doctor and deal with it when it comes. Kind of taking those preventative measures beforehand so that we can delay an illness or prevent an illness altogether, I think is super important, especially in today's world, where I know a lot of people have lost a lot of trust in traditional medicine and want to kind of go an alternative medicine route. I love it.
Yeah, you know, well said. You know, it's a journey, right? But from wellness to illness. And I think everyone deserves to know where they are on that journey. And they should be offered complementary products and services so they could live longer, healthier. The end goal is not to be part of the traditional care model. The end goal is to avoid the traditional care model as much
exactly.
as possible.
So what do you mean when you say continuous hormone tracking? Is that like every day, every week, every month?
Yeah, so we know that hormones dance throughout the day. It's a rhythm that we call the circadian rhythm or the down rhythm. Most hormones are highest in the morning and they sort of drop throughout the day. There is a physiological and an evolutionary merit of this dance. The best approach to measuring hormones is to really do it serially, as often as possible, depending on the hormone and what you're trying to extract out of that data. But if you take cortisol, which is a proxy of your stress system that could be easily measured with saliva today, you should at least do two measurements in the morning and in the evening to understand your diurnal rhythm. And a typical normal diurnal rhythm is a high cortisol in the morning and a low cortisol at night. A normal diurnal rhythm suggests that you have an optimized stress system in your body. But cortisol is one of several stress-related outputs. You know, another stress-related outputs that we often measure in our wearables is the HRV. So think of cortisol as the HRV of your hormone system and your stress system, and you need a minimum of two measurements. Now, if you do more at different time points to understand your output, your stress output at that point in time, or you do those two measurements serially every couple of weeks, that adds more data to your rhythm and to your AI, so the AI can get better training data on your behavior and provide personalized wellness-related recommendations as well based on that data.
So as an endocrinologist and also someone developing labs to measure this more frequently, what are your thoughts on the term adrenal fatigue?
Yeah, so we know we are constantly bombarded with stressors in our life, whether they're psychosocial stressors or environmental stressors, or even having, true adrenal disease that need time to evolve. Now, whether adrenal fatigue is considered a medical diagnosis or not is debatable. But what we've seen is that there is a prevalence of dysregulated or non-optimized cortisol diurnal rhythms in the general population. What does that mean? It means that most of us are exposed to some form of stress that's causing our cortisol values throughout the day to be disrupted. And a product like Elli's cortisol hormometer can help us understand how optimal is our diurnal rhythm. Now, whether you want to call a non-optimal diurnal rhythm adrenal fatigue or a non-optimal diurnal rhythm or whatever terminology we use, it is a true condition. And that's why most people don't feel good, especially at times of stress, is because there are dysregulated hormones that are impacted by the stressful response. And that leads to a dysregulated circadian response and further negative impacts of that on our general health and well-being. So to really summarize this important question, most of us are faced with stressors. They impact the way our cortisol behaves in our body. And oftentimes it's given the terminology of adrenal fatigue. But I think a more accurate terminology is to really zone in on how optimal the circadian rhythm is, and then change the term from adrenal fatigue to whether the rhythm is optimal or non-optimal based on serial measurements.
I actually love that. Now, with your device to measure this and with your AI technology, is this designed to be something that is like a direct-to-consumer sort of test, or that it goes through their healthcare provider?
Yeah, it is FDA cleared, direct-to-consumer. They can purchase it from the website. We are working on a B2B offering to help empower providers with the data, the product, and the dashboard, so they can get more data on their clients and patients through serial testing. We see this as a wellness product today. Some analytes like progesterone require more rigorous regulatory clearance, but cortisol is considered a wellness product and consumers can play with it just like how they do with the HRV and the other wearable outputs that are out there.
And so with that data then, when we escalate this outside of things that they can do for general wellness, so improving their sleep patterns, trying to get regular exercise, have a healthy diet, is this data validated in a way that the clinician could use it to then consider prescriptive therapies?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a 97% accuracy compared to gold standard ELISA testing from blood on the cortisol side. On the progesterone side, the accuracy is about 94%. It is FDA registered and cleared for wellness reasons and not diagnostics. For diagnostics, you need to take it a step higher when it comes to validation, testing, regulation. So we're very careful and transparent with the positioning of this product. We want consumers to use it so they can get a truthful output in terms of how optimal their circadian rhythm is. And based on that, the AI output can recommend wellness-related interventions, including optimizing sleep, exercise, diet, and other lifestyle-related interventions that can have a major impact on someone's behavior. And we know that, you know, these wearables can have a significant impact on someone's behavior, and that behavioral change can have a major impact on someone's future risk for disease. And so there is merit in doing serial testing or serial monitoring through various wearables and biomarkers, because it does influence consumer behavior.
Yeah, I have kind of a funny story with wearables. Like, I have I'm wearing the Apple Watch, and years ago I had like a short little bout of AFib, and ended up in the ER. It was very brief, supplemented, probably related to maybe some supplement or something I took, and been fine for more than a decade. I felt this little twinge, you know, a month or so ago, and thought, well, maybe I need to monitor this more closely. I hate wearing anything personally, and so I don't like it on. So I put it on, and I get so many alerts and texts. I was like, it's going to cause me to have AFib because it continues. I've not picked up on anything with my heart rate yet, but the thing continues to vibrate with every little notice I get. I was like, this is going to make me have AFib from having the wearable. I love the concept behind the data and the information. You know, all of my friends and my family, they know that I love lots of data, but when it comes to me personally wearing something, it drives me insane. So this device that you have to continually measure, are you just swabbing, or is it a wearable or something that we're putting on other parts of our body? Or this is just saliva testing?
It is just a saliva test, similar to the concept of a COVID test or a pregnancy test. You put the device in the mouth for less than a minute. It soaks the saliva in a sponge. It triggers the lateral flow assay. It converts the analyte of interest, whether it's the free cortisol or progesterone or testosterone that's floating in the saliva, into a color. That color is then read through the phone's application, and camera through computer vision gets translated through AI into a graph, and then AI assisted recommendations. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool. Maybe I'll get one. I'll get Sierra to get us one, and we'll do some live things, and we'll see what my cortisol levels are. Maybe on some days we don't want to know.
Absolutely. You know, one of the biggest issues of measuring hormones in clinical practice is timing. And let's break that down. Because hormones are elevated in the morning, they need to be measured after a restful sleep with no recent exposure to alcohol or drugs or disrupted circadian rhythm or sleep rhythm. They have to be measured in the morning on a fasting sample, ideally before 10 in the morning. There are some exceptions. Progesterone in a female that has active menstruation should be measured at day 21. Male testosterone testing should be done in the morning at any time, but, you know, keeping in mind everything I mentioned earlier, because hormones are very sensitive to disruption. And a common thing we see in practice is hormones measured in the afternoon, which can lead to a falsely low level. So testosterone in a male, for example, can drop by 50% in the afternoon. Cortisol, ideally measured late at night, if you're looking for high cortisol levels, and this is an established diagnostic test for adrenal disorders, or you do serial measurements, so you can really catch that curve and that dance or that down rhythm. There are other nuances to hormone testing. So I never just look at a single value. I want to make sure that the setting of measurement is accurate. For example, morning fasting. That the context is accurate, that I have serial data over time, And that I leverage technologies like Ellie Health when it comes to certain hormones like cortisol.
So if someone were watching this episode and they had to do one thing after this episode to optimize their hormone, what would your one piece of advice be?
Good sleep. And it's so understated, but you know, we are, think about our brains and our hormone system as a software, and that software has a code, and that code is called the circadian clock. And that circadian clock needs constant optimization. And because it's a clock, it has to sleep at a certain hour and wake up at a certain hour. It has to see light at a certain hour during the day, and it has to stay healthy to keep it running. That software and clock also requires an upgrade. So we need a software upgrade from time to time, right? And that's where you know, hormone optimization, peptide optimization, red light therapy, weight loss, happiness, sense of community, all that feeds into that software and creates an optimal software. And obviously that software is encased in a hardware, which is our body. And that body also requires an upgrade, whether it is taking care of your skin, you know, losing weight, building muscle, looking good, feeling good. And so think about it from a hardware software perspective. And yes, so if there's one thing that will help with both, especially the software part, it's the sleep optimization.
All right, very good. Ali, do you have any final questions?
I was going to ask, who do you find is your most popular consumer group? Do you find that it's like athletes, postmenopausal women, people just biohackers in general? Do you have a specific group of people that you feel like is super into this right now?
Yeah, you know, like we've been out for a couple of months right now. We've seen various types of client personas, you know, the young and healthy that want to stay proactive through, you know, data measurements, serial data measurements, all the way to athletes that want to prevent injuries by understanding their cortisol values pre and post athletic performance. And we know that cortisol and testosterone values pre-performance or during the phase of the menstrual cycles in females can have an impact on risk of injury, all the way to individuals that are really interested in understanding whether they have a medical condition and they want to leverage this wellness product to understand their curve so they could take it to their providers for further testing. But I would say the most important application of Ellie's hormone meter is really think about it as the Fitbit for your hormone system. And you use it the same way you use a Whoop or an Oura Ring or a Fitbit, is to understand the health of your hormone system. Think about it as the barometer of your stress system and from the context of cortisol, or the barometer of your menstrual system from the context of progesterone and estradiol.
I love that. I think it's for everybody. It sounds like that's kind of what I wanted to get at, is like anybody could use this to optimize their health.
Definitely. I think we see so many patients in our practice, and I think that a lot of our listeners, a lot of people that join me through my coaching and consulting program, they are having patients and that are looking to optimize their health. We're really in the space where it's this ideal client, because these are the patients who are usually out of the traditional medical system, or they're doing this in conjunction with that, which I love that. And they're looking for ways to truly optimize their health. They want to be well on the inside and out. And so they're coming to us, they're wanting a lot of aesthetic procedures to have their skin, and they're always looking, what can we do to optimize, you know, our hormones? Is there something new on the horizon that will make us feel better and look better and prevent these signs of aging? So certainly this is on the cutting edge of that. Thank you so much, Fadi, for joining us today on this episode. We're going to tag all your stuff. So if anybody listening is interested in learning more about hormonally.ai or Eli Health, then we're going to put it on here. So I know that a lot of our listeners will be very fascinated to learn more about that. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, and be proactive. Check your hormones serially. Make sure you check it at the right time. You know, the second thing I want to say after sleep is really hormone optimization. It's probably the most important and well-studied biohacking and longevity-focused intervention that will have a major impact on someone's quality of life and overall healthy lifestyle journey. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye.